We've been in a series called The Ride. And the subtitle is How to Get the Most Out of Your Life with Christ. Now here's the truth. If you can have all the experiences in life, but if you don't experience them with someone, then they're not as fun. They're meaningless, right? Now here's the spiritual application. You can even have an experience with your wife, you can have experience with your kids, you can have a great time going places, vacationing, all that stuff. But if you don't go with someone, then it's not as fun. It's meaningless. I'll just be honest with you. I've never had a better relationship. I've never had more satisfaction. I've never experienced more joy than I have with my relationship with Christ. It's the bottom line. I mean, I can have all these great relationships. I can have a great time. But at some point, every human relationship has failed me. Every human relationship. It's natural, right? The one relationship that's never failed me is my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just the truth. I mean, it's just the most satisfying relationship that I've ever had. And so we've been going through, how do we get the most out of this relationship? How do we get the most out of this life with Christ? Number one, if you remember, it was this. This life is an adventure. It's an adventure. We ought to take some risks and we ought to have some faith. Number two was this. This ride is a gift. Remember that? I mean, that was one of my favorite messages I've ever preached. This ride is a gift. We are called to enjoy this ride, and we are called to use our gift of life to honor God. Number three was this, and we just studied this last week. This ride is a school. We can have all the knowledge that we want. I can study the Bible all I want. I can read the Bible. I can study philosophy, theology, all those things. But if I don't ever put it into practice, then it's pointless. And so this ride is a school. We ought to experience it, not just hear it and take it in, right? And the second part of that was we ought to learn our lessons. When God is trying to teach us something through the school of life, we can either resist it or we can embrace it. When you embrace it, you will learn a lesson, and God will grow your character. He'll grow your maturity. But if you resist it, then that same lesson will have to happen over and over again. So this ride is a school. Now, today I want to talk about another truth that we have to recognize if we're going to get the most out of life. Number four is this. Number four. This ride is a relationship. I want to say it again. This ride is a relationship. Now, here's the truth. Christianity is a religion. I believe it is the number one religion. I believe that it is the true religion. But here's the truth. Knowing God is all about a relationship. Are you with me? Knowing God is all about a relationship. There was a great church leader one time. He was asked, what is the greatest religion? And here was his answer. They'll all send you to hell. They'll all send you to hell. You know why? Because if you expect to do enough or work hard enough or come to church enough and do all those things because you believe in religion, then you are going to still die and go to hell even though you did all that stuff. Here's the point. The truth is, it's all about a relationship. It's all about a relationship. Again, people want to make knowing God about religion. If you earn enough points, if you're good enough, if you're, go to church enough times, you'll get to heaven. But the truth is, it's all about a relationship. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says this. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Did you hear what it said? We are saved by grace. Through faith, not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, it's not something that we can do. It's all about a relationship. And you may think, well, who's this relationship with? Well, here's the answer. The relationship is with Jesus Christ. It has to be a faith in Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, God's only Son, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings. Listen to John 14:6. It says, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who?
Me.
Me. except through Jesus. And so Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth is, when we trust in Jesus, guess what? We begin the greatest relationship we will ever have. The greatest relationship we will ever have. And here's the thing. That a byproduct of the relationship with Jesus is we are made right with His Father. You know who His Father is? The God of the universe. Because we trust in Jesus, we are made right with the God of the universe. I don't know if you ever think about God. I don't know if you've thought about that, the name God, in a while. But when I think about it, sometimes I lose sight of how big that is. Again, if you ever think about God, God is, He's God. I mean, He's the creator of the earth. I mean, the very breath that you're breathing right now has been given to you. He knows how many hairs are on the top of your head, which again is easy for some of you. Even I can count. He knows how many breaths that you've taken. He knows how many heartbeats that you've taken in your heart. He knows how many tears have hit your chest. He knows it all. Because He's Creator God. He's the God of the universe. And when you trust in His Son, you begin the greatest relationship that you can have. And somebody, some of you are again, well, you're thinking, if this is a relationship, what's God's role? What's God's role in this relationship? And what is our role in this relationship? Well, I want to answer that. I'll give you a few things that I believe God's role is. Number one is this. He's our protector. He's our protector. Look at Psalm 121. It says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. He's our protector. Here's another thing. He's our provider. Look at James chapter 1. It says, every good and perfect gift is from God, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Again, all the good things that you have are a gift from God, and it has been provided by God. He's our comforter, right? I mean, that's one of the greatest, I think, things that God offers us. When we are going through pain, He's our comforter. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, praise be to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? What does it say? Compassion. And the God of all what? Comfort. Who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Again, one of the things that He does, He provides comfort for us. Here's the last one. And again, the list is limitless, but I just wanted to share a few. But He empowers us. He empowers us. Listen to the power that God has in Jeremiah chapter 10. It says, but God made the earth by His what? By God made the earth. Come on, Matthew. But God made the earth by His power. He founded the world by His wisdom and stretched out the heavens by His understanding. Listen to this. When He thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from His storehouses. Here's the truth. True power comes from God. And because He's so powerful, doesn't mean He's a distant God. No, you can know Him personally if you accept His Son, Jesus. And again, so those are the things that I believe, some of the things that God's role plays in our life. And you say, well, okay, Bo, what role do we play in this relationship with God? Well, we've learned that we're to trust in Him, right? We're to enjoy Him, we're to be used by Him, we're to experience Him, and we're to learn from Him. Well, today I want to share with you one more truth, or a couple things, key points about, again, this ride as a relationship. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says this. Solomon is speaking. He's the greatest king. He's the richest man in the world at the time. He's the wisest man in the world at the time. And listen to what he says. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands. For this is everyone's duty. This is everyone's duty. And you say, okay, but what's our role in this relationship with God? Number one is this. This is the first key. This ride is a relationship. Fear God. Fear God. Now, I don't know if you have any fears. Anybody got any fears? Yeah. Anybody have any nightmares? Anybody have nightmares? Yeah, one of my nightmares is I'm going to be late for class and I haven't studied for a test. Anybody with me? That's the dumbest fear that I've ever had. But I wake up with sweats almost thinking, man, I haven't studied. Of course, it was true when I was in college. But it's a nightmare. Here's the other nightmare that I have. I have a nightmare that I come to church and I have nothing but my underwear on. And I preach and I'm not prepared. I've not prepared anything. It's a nightmare. And again, this is kind of those natural fears that we have. But here's the truth. The fear of God is totally different than the fears that you think you have in this world. It's totally different. I want to illustrate that. This is one of my horses. His name is Hiccup. You know why his name is Hiccup? My son, Hank, one of his favorite movies is How to Train a Dragon. And so we put names in a hat, and the name that we drew out was Hiccup. So this horse name is Hiccup. This horse, we've raised this horse. This horse is out of a stud called Boom Bar and out of a mare that we've had that we got a long time ago. He's only 2 years old, so he's pretty green, and he might be pretty wild today. But I wanted to illustrate something for you today. We love horses at our house. We think horses are fun. We think they're a joy to be around. But here's the truth: you have to have a healthy fear of horses. How many of you guys have an unhealthy fear of horses? Anybody? You just don't like them. Yeah, you just fear them no matter what. Well, the truth is, if you have a healthy fear of horses, they're great. But if you don't, you're going to get hurt, right? Some of the things we teach our kids is, and again, this horse has never been ridden. He's fixing to be ridden, but not by me. I started all of our horses, but I'm getting to the age where I don't bounce as good. So I'm not actually going to send this horse off for the first time, and he's going to be ridden by somebody younger than me. But here's the truth. We teach our kids, if you're going to have a great time and enjoy horses, then you have to have a healthy fear of them. Some of the things that we teach our kids is you don't approach a horse too quickly, right? When you walk up to a horse, you ought to walk up slow, let that horse smell you, then rub on that horse. If you walk up to a horse, and I don't know if this is smart, but let's see if I can move him up a little bit. But if I walk up to him and I go like this, guess what? He's going to go like that. If I move too quick, he's going to move like that, and guess what? Someone's going to get ran over on the other side, right? So, again, you have to have a healthy fear of horses. Horses, they have a flight. They have this idea that they want to run or they're going to fight. And if you threaten a horse or if you move too quickly, they can hurt you. You know why? Because they're powerful. They're beautiful, but they're powerful. A horse can probably hurt you with any part of his body. But he could kick you with the front feet. He could run over you. But the part that he could kick you with or that hurts you with the most is his hindquarters. I mean, he could kick the sun out of you. And that's what we teach our kids. We teach them to have a healthy fear of horses. One of the other things that we teach our kids, if I can get him to move forward, if I can get him to walk a step forward, okay, maybe not. I'm just gonna set him right there. One of the other things we teach our kids is when you come up to a horse, you want to touch them. You want to let them know that you're there. If I walk out of the tack room, I'm usually either whistling so that my horse can hear me, or I'm talking to my horse, like, hey, good horse, and I want to talk to him because I want him to let him know that I'm there. Now, again, if you have no knowledge of horses, this may be elementary for some of you, but this is probably the worst place you could stand, right? The worst place you could stand, because he could kick me right in my face right about now. So one of the things we teach our kids is if you're going to be around horses, again, you need to have a healthy respect for horses or you're going to get hurt. So one of the things we teach them is you always touch them. You touch them soft. You talk to them. If you're going to walk behind a horse, you don't walk, again, way out here like this, thinking, oh, he's not going to get me. No, he's going to get you. Right? I mean, if he was a kick, he could kick me pretty hard. One of the things we teach them is you kind of stay close, and you touch them all the way around. All the way around. You keep your hand on him. See, he's kind of a flinchy horse, but you keep your hand on him, and you touch him. Again, that's going to keep you safe if you do that. Now, could he kick me? Yes, he could probably kick me still, but he wouldn't be able to kick me as hard because I'm so close to him, right? And so those are the things that we teach our kids. You know why? Because we want them to have a healthy fear of horses. If we don't, then they're going to get hurt. I'll give you another illustration. I have a father, just like everybody else. We all have dads, right? Now, here's the thing. If you have a father and you've ever tried to wrestle with your father, you learn that there is something called what I call dad strength. You know what I'm saying? I'm 39 years old and I'm still scared of my dad, of his strength. You know what I'm saying? Because we used to try to, you know, we wrestled growing up. And so one of the, you know, stupid times of my life, I tried to tango with my dad. You know, I would try him. I'd grab a hold of him and say, come on. And then he would use those phrases like, mess with the bull and get the horn. Or say, it's all fun and games till someone ends up crying. And we would end up crying, right? I mean, we were trying, but he had what I call, again, dad strength. And you know what? We respected him. We had a healthy fear of my dad. Sometimes it was an unhealthy fear because we had done something stupid. But we had a healthy fear of my dad. Now, here's the spiritual application. God is the same way. You ought to have a healthy respect or a healthy fear of God. I mean, if you want to get along with God, if you want God to work with you and not against you, then you ought to have a healthy fear of Him. It's not a fear where you run from Him. I mean, again, if I was to ride that horse and I was fearful, guess what? He's going to know it. And he's going to act like an idiot because I'm fearful. My dad, again, if I have an unhealthy fear of my dad, I'm going to run from him. But the truth is, we ought not have an unhealthy fear of God. A fear that makes us run from Him or not want to be close to Him. We ought to have a healthy fear of Him. A respect, an admiration for, an awe of His awesomeness. And here's what that healthy fear produces. It produces security, refuge, life. I mean, Proverbs 14 says this, those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children. Fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers escape from the snares of death. Listen, we ought to have a holy fear of God. Now, here's the thing. If you're a Christian, you have nothing to fear of God. Right? I want you to hear that. If you're a Christian, you have nothing to fear of God. If you're not a Christian, I'm just going to be honest with you, you have everything to fear. You do. And some people are like, you're just trying to scare me, you know, to make a decision. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to be honest with you. If you don't know Christ, you are going to face judgment. You are. But if you know Christ, then you have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Ecclesiastes, and you say, well, what does this fear produce? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 again. It says this. That's the whole story. Here's now my final conclusion. Fear God and what?
Obey
His commands, for this is everyone's duty. So again, the first key was this right is a relationship, fear God. Number two, the second key is this. This right is a relationship, obey. Obey. If I want to get along with my horse, guess what I need to do? I need to obey the rules of being around horses. If I want to get along with my father, guess what I need to do? I need to obey the rules that he has set. Because I respect him. I have to respect that horse. That horse is going to, again, he's going to hurt me. Proverbs 14:2 says this, whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly, but those who despise him are devious in their ways. Holy fear, guess what? It should lead to upright living. It should lead to righteous living. Holy fear should lead to obedience. You say, what are we supposed to obey? Well, the scripture tells us, it says, here's my final conclusion, fear God and obey His what?
Commands.
Obey His commands, for this is everyone's duty. Some of you might be thinking, well, but I knew that I had to follow all these rules to get to heaven. No, listen, I want to say it again. You don't have to follow a bunch of rules to get to heaven. It's all about a relationship with Jesus. But here's the truth. If you have a relationship with Jesus, guess what? You ought to follow the rules. You know why? Because it shows that you love Him. I mean, if I love my dad and I fear Him, I have a holy respect for Him, then I will obey His rules. Children, listen. Teenagers, listen. If you want to have more freedom in life, if you want to have more blessing in life, obey your parents. Did I get an amen on that? I mean, if you want to enjoy more, let's say you want to get a raise or you want to, work up the ladder, guess what you need to do? You need to obey your boss. I mean, here's the truth. Obedience breeds blessing. It breeds blessing. I'll just say it this way. If you obey God, you will receive unlimited blessings. Emotionally, I'm telling you, if you obey God and you protect your heart from maybe a wrong relationship or, something that's bad for you, He will protect your emotions. He will give you peace. If you obey God financially and you give back a tenth or whatever, a tithe to Him, guess what? He's going to bless you for your obedience. If you obey God relationally and you date people that are only believers in Christ, you marry people only that know Christ, He's going to bless your relationship. If you obey Him by reading your Bible daily, if you pray to Him, if you give your life to Him daily and serve Him in the church or outside the church, wherever it is, if you serve Him, He is going to bless you. Now you say, but is it all easy? No. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, again, is it easier to not obey God? Absolutely. Anybody with me? Anybody say that's true? I mean, it's easier not to obey God. And I'll just say it this way. Being a Christian is not for sissies. It's really not. If you think it's going to be peachy king and everything's going to be all hunky-dory, then you are fooling yourself. It is hard to be a follower of Christ. But if you will obey Him, if you will have a holy respect for Him, you will reap the blessings.
Amen.
You will. Again, real men and real women, guess what? They live for Christ. They live for Christ. And they pay the price. They do what they're told to do. They do what they're asked to do because they know that they're going to reap the blessings of God. Maybe not here on this earth. I'm not saying you're going to get rich. I'm not saying you're going to have an easy life. Again, maybe your reward is going to be in heaven and you're going to suffer on this earth. All of us are going to suffer in some manner. But here's the truth. It will be worth it because you are honoring God and He's going to bless you. My encouragement to you today is this. Fulfill your role in your relationship with God by having a holy fear of Him and obeying Him. You will get the most out of your life with Christ, and you won't regret it for one day. You won't regret it for one day. Now, here's the thing. You have a choice today. You can say, I don't care to fear God. Sure, I believe in Him, but I don't care to fear Him, and I'm not going to obey Him. Well, guess what? Your destiny is destruction. It is. Trust me, when I've not feared God, not respected Him enough to obey Him, guess where I ended up? Failure. Right? Or you can make the choice to say, okay, I'm going to have a holy fear of God. I'm going to respect Him. I'm going to admire Him. And I'm going to begin to obey Him. Guess what that leads to? It leads to security. It leads to joy. It leads to fulfillment. It leads to blessing. And so again, that's your choice today. And you have that choice. God will not make you choose Him. He will not make you obey. He gives you a choice. And so that's my question for you today. Do you have a holy fear of God? Are you obeying Him? I hope it's you. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just 1 minute. Some of you are here today and you're religious. You come to church, you read, Bible maybe. I mean, maybe you don't read the Bible at all, but you're just religious. You say, well, I believe in God. I come to church every now and then when it's convenient and I don't have anything else going. For some of you, that's your idea of what it is to know God. But again, I'll tell you the truth. Religion is not the answer. It's a relationship. Some of you are here today and you've never truly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You've never really given Him all of your heart and all of your life. You've gone through the motions. You've done what you're expected to do. You may come to church because it's good for your business. You may come to church because everybody's watching you and you want them to think you're a good person. Listen, the truth is, it's all about a relationship with Jesus. And you can have that today. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, believe that He raised from the dead, that He rose from the dead, you will be saved. And so maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to get out of this religion trap and you need to begin a personal relationship with Jesus today. You can do that right there in your seat. Again, the Bible tells us if we will just confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Maybe you just need to pray that right now. Lord, I confess You as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to pray, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've disobeyed Your word, and I need You to forgive me. Maybe you just need to pray, Lord, come into my life and save me. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer in your heart, not just in your mind, but in your heart, and you meant it with all you have, guess what? You now have a relationship with the Creator of the world. You now have a personal relationship with Jesus. And here's what He asks you to do. To live for Him. Now you have true life. Now you have true security. Now you can have true fulfillment. Now you can get the most out of your life with Christ. Because you have given Him your life. And so listen, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to know about it. So that we can rejoice with you. So that we can help you. So that we can equip you. Give you a Bible. Whatever you need. We want to help you enjoy this ride. And learn and grow in your new relationship with Christ. Here's all we ask you to do. Fill out that orange card. Place it in one of these yellow buckets. You say, I don't have an orange card. Maybe you just need to text your name to the number on the screen as you leave today. And we will contact you about your decision. Some of you are here today. And you know Christ, you've given your life to Him, but you don't have a holy fear of Him. And maybe your prayer needs to be, God, give me a holy fear of You. Show me what that looks like. Show me what it looks like to be in awe of You. And Lord, I pray that You would give me a desire to obey Your word, to read it, to study it, to follow it, so that I can get the most out of my life and not just go through the motions. Maybe you just need to pray that right now. Listen, I hope that you will walk out of here knowing that God loves you, that He wants a relationship with you, that Jesus died on a cross so that you could have eternal life. And you could have a holy fear of Him, and He desires you to obey Him. Lord, I come to You right now and I thank You for the opportunity to share truth with everyone that's here today. I thank You for the people that are here that have given their lives to You. That they've said, I can't do this on my own. I have to have Christ in my life. And they've surrendered to You. Lord, I thank You for the people that maybe today prayed that prayer for the first time and asked You to come into their life and forgive them and give them eternal life. Thank You for that, Lord. We rejoice in their decision. Lord, I pray that today, again, as Christians, that we would commit to having a holy fear, a healthy fear of You, a respect for You, and a respect enough that would lead us to obey, to live by Your standards, to live by the Word of God. Lord, we thank You for sharing this relationship with us and blessing us when we obey You. Lord, give us the strength to do that for the rest of our lives. It's in Your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much for being here today. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Bo Haig at Thousand Hills Ranch Church in Woodward, Oklahoma. Please join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. at the Woodward Livestock Auction.